I'm gonna drink my water first. I get dry up pretty fast. So anyway, I love the music this morning. It's so beautiful. And that song, let me drink it first. All the way my Savior leads me. That was one of my mom's favorite songs. Of course, in Koshayan. So we would do devotional. She used to have us sing early in the morning, All the Way My Savior Leads Me. So yesterday, I went to cut my hair as part of the new year, and I guess for today. And so Manang said, oh, your hair is growing. There's a lot coming up here. I said, well, thank you, Manang. Oh, thanks for letting me know. I didn't notice it, but she told me it's growing. So you think it's growing? Maybe it's growing, right? So, wonderful. So, Happy New Year. Let me see what's behind me. So, maybe at this time, some of those nice pictures can come up. But we all have some kind of messages of New Year. And so, I'll start with this. Last time I present here in June, I talked about the pandemic things we were doing, taking care of the dogs, the chicken were laying eggs more than what they used to. So not chicken, no cats, nothing. But my family loves color. They enjoy, you know, doing Christmas things, went around and then to Maryland, met them in Marizzo the other night, going through that heart in Marizzo. Wonderful time. What else is there? Yeah, it's mostly colors and, of course, nice clouds. I think must be in Santa Rita Hackett area, that nice sunset. Yeah, beautiful. So before I start, like Brother Kim, you said, I'm going to challenge you today and myself. So if you think someone needs to be safe, if you think, because you're going to heaven, you're going to share your faith, and I'm going to ask you at the end, if someone is here and wants to be safe, and I don't see anyone new, but maybe there's someone here, and doesn't have to be young or old, but let me ask you, raise up your hands if you can lead someone to Christ with the help of God. In today's message, it's really God who's doing the savings. We just simply share the word of God, Campus Crusade. Always say that. So raise up your hand if you can lead someone to Christ with God's help. Don't be afraid. You're going to heaven. Bring someone with you. So in 2003, I visited my mom at the Koshai Hospital. I think that was around August. She was dying, and I had to go there. And so when I visited her, I asked her, Mom, are you going to heaven? She said, yes. You know, that was very unusual for a Koshayan to say yes for going to heaven, because it's kind of corporate kind of salvation. You kind of attach kind of everything about the church. They're hoping they're going to heaven. And a lot of them are going to heaven. But I was very surprised that she was very sure she's going to heaven. She turned next to a younger girl who was in the same area where she was confined and asked her, forgot the name, are you going to heaven? I didn't notice anything she said. So I hope she went to heaven. And next to them, there were a group of ladies, all diabetic. And so funny thing is, one of the ladies said, hey, Bedouin, if you go back to Guam, can you ask my daughter to send me some nice red steak? I mean, she's diabetic. It's so funny that, you know, she's you know, asked for a steak. In a few months, they all died. My mother, that young girl next to her, and everyone in that room. as we have been talking about this coronavirus, nobody knows when God will call us. And so that, I just want to bring that up. So 17 years later, in November, just past November, so Nikisha and Latoya, our grandchildren, kids, left. I don't know exactly the day they left. And so Latoya likes to write notes, thanking people for what they do. And I think that's great. And so I found a note for me. Everyone else had a note. And so my note said, "Grandpa, thank you so much for taking care of us. Thank you for cooking." And she gave me asked me a question, which will be part of our message this morning. How are you going to take someone to heaven? And you know what? That was the discussion for the Aluka family for a few weeks, for a couple reasons. The coronavirus, because we're kind of scared. And also, they're going to leave to a place they do not know how it's going to be like. Grandma is going to take them. They're not sure, being a little elderly like myself, how it's going to be like in Seattle or when she goes to Tucson, Arizona. And so the atmosphere for the Aluka family was, and everyone else, is not sure, fear. And so she asked that question because that was the topic for some time for us to think about where we're going to heaven. And so I guess that's where I'm heading this morning, not because of what she asked me. It's because of what's always been asked by ourselves, because Jesus commanded us to do so. And just to clarify, we don't necessarily take someone to heaven per se. It's just a good thought. Someone asked me one time, if you arrive in heaven, someone, Jesus said, who did you bring with you? It's just really for us to think about, really, is there a crowd behind me? Is there someone I'm taking me because I shared a few years ago? So I think we should be thinking about who might we be sharing with. And so just leave that thought. Park it somewhere. We'll be back throughout this message to visit that very idea. Okay? So the passage today is Ephesians chapter 2, 1 to 10. And of course, I'll be covering some passages, mostly in Ephesians chapter 2 and Ephesians chapter 1, and a few verses here and there to help with the concept of how salvation takes place. And of course, salvation is a very complicated subject. Very. But we'll see what the Bible said, what I learned just a little bit, and, you know, what the Holy Spirit is sharing with all of you all this past week and all these years. And I believe that Holy Spirit really works with the person who stands here beside what they learn, what the Bible said. And so I have been praying for that. Why don't we pray and ask God to help us this morning? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for loving us. Thank you so much for choosing us. Thank you very much for having a wonderful plan for all of us. So I ask that your Holy Spirit help us, help me this morning as well, as we look at your word, that you do likewise what you did on the cross. Lord, you are Emmanuel. Because of your love, you came in what we call Christmas. So I ask that you be with us in Jesus' name. Amen. So is the passage up there? Good. So I'm using the New King James Version. It's because when you translate the Bible, it's good to go to the kind of original version where you can follow the original truth about that. So Ephesians chapter 2, 1 to 10. And you being made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among who also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. But God is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us. Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that is not of yourself, it is the gift of God, and not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So folks, I was talking about my family. I was talking about some of the things that Ladoya might have challenged me. And I just inform you of the need to think about this command to share the word of God. Let's look at Paul's message to the church in Ephesus and see our triune God who works out our plan of salvation. It is of utmost significance that we know our God and his master plan, which has tied up everything together in salvation. The subject of salvation is always very challenging, even among us Christians. One thing or another, this is how we're saved, this is this and that. And I'm going to explain a little bit later on. So let's go back to Ephesus. Last time I talked about Paul writing to the people of Colossae. Now I'm talking about Paul also writing from the prison, writing to the people of Ephesus, Christians. So Colossae is about 100 miles to Rome. Ephesus, almost 1,000 miles. And so it's a different situation. A little further out, he was sending Tychicus to send the message there. Paul was 3 years in Ephesus before he went to prison. And instead of challenging the people of Ephesus about something really bad going on there, like in Colossae, he was trying to tell them to be united in Christ, because Jesus, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are united. That's the main topic. And also he's trying to challenge them because the Trinity is all tied to salvation. And the main topic, the main subject really beyond the unity is that salvation should be coming out of your church. That should be your ultimate goal in everything, because that's what we should be doing. That's what you should be doing, church in Ephesus. Okay? So, my topic this morning may be a little different from the way it's written, but it should be the same. Is salvation is by faith through God's grace alone. It's about the same, yeah? And so that's my topic. Now, to understand about God's grace and gift of salvation, we must also understand the truth, the awesomeness of our God. He is very awesome. Now, there, as I was saying, there are different... I got to check if everything okay up there. It's okay? Because first of all, I really thank the folks back there who always try to help with the sound and everything. So I appreciate you guys trying to catch up with what we're saying up here. So thank you so much. And so speaking about selfish and indifferent belief and ideas, so one time I call a pastor. Actually I call a few pastors, but I just want to share one. So how does anyone get to heaven? This is what he said. Faith, I said, wonderful. And then next thing he said, plus 10 more. I said, 10 more? And so I said, what are they? It was too complicated. He couldn't tell me on the phone what these 10 other things are. Okay? And so, you know, I like to kind of talk about Mormons a little bit here and there because they're very active. They're doing a great job. As you guys say, not really good, but they go out a lot. Of course, they're cult, but I'm just saying they're going out a lot. So this is how the Mormons think. The Mormons, instead of having just the Bible, they have the Bible, Book of Mormons, and Pearl of Great Price. And so their idea of salvation is really very mixed up. So depending on what you do in life, about how dedicated you are, you might end up in planet this and planet that. You know, it's very confusing. And also, you know, I don't know about this thing, but there are folks who are isolated from the other Mormon believers, like unlike us, like maybe the elders to them are more special. They have a different gift depending on their dedication to the Lord. They might have a different karma for those who are really, really dedicated and only them. It's so confusing, but I just want to thank God that through salvation by God and grace, we're saved. So we're not, it's very clear in front of us. Okay? Now, I hope I don't confuse you, but I really believe that although everything is set up by God in His triune, in His makeup, but what happened in Nicaea in 325, the meeting in Constantinople, the Athanasius and the Froo folks came from, of course, Alexandria, and Arius plus five of his friends went there for a meeting to decide once for all, even though it's already in the Bible, that Jesus is the same substance and essence of God. Same thing. And so that meeting declared officially with the emperor that indeed there were like over 500 versus these five friends of Arius, that Jesus is indeed the same substance as God. You know, having two substances, whether God created that substance or what, if you got two separate God, make it three, when it comes to salvation, it's just very confusing. Not to say that when we try to apply in our lives, it just doesn't work. So I just want to thank God. Throughout about 1,500 years down to Calvin, I think it has always been understanding our triune God. It's basically the same thing over and over, different studies and theologies putting their thoughts together. So, I'm going to go straight into the reading today. Let's remember this. Our human nature is completely sinful, as in verse 1. As for you, you were dead in your transgression and sin in which you used to live when you followed the way of this world. So this is how Paul addressed the Ephesians. He's going to talk about what I just said about salvation, but he wanted to remind them about sin. Okay? Followed the ways of the world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the Spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us once live among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following the desires of our thoughts. I was just thinking about Chaplain John Tomada, since we're looking at desires and thoughts, when he was talking about Philippians chapter 4, that whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is trustworthy, think on this. In other words, as Christians, we should be occupied by thinking about God. But in our old nature as sinners, our thoughts and cravings are very different, associated with the enemy, many times with the enemy. And so it makes a big difference. We have put our trust in Jesus. Okay? Now, God's term for this type of debt that I was just saying in first one is called nekros. I hope I pronounce it good. A corpse, a dead body, it literally means lack of life. It's just not able to respond to any impulses. So when Adam and Eve sin, they become part of our lives. In other words, they were dead to responding to God at this time. So what happened to God's image? Remember in Genesis when he said he's going to make Adam and Eve part of their images. So there are three things that is being challenged here when Adam and Eve sin. The first nature really is that each nature constitution of his soul. That's one of the things we should be like God, our soul. Second one is the purity of God. And thirdly is his nature. So this is what happened when we talk about not having the same image of God. It's entirely different from what God created us to be, or Adam and Eve at that time. You know, folks, we can say this and that, but the consequences of sin is dead. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is dead. And so that is why it's very important to find or look for God who can only make us alive, because we always will run short. You know, folks, I've been thinking in terms of God's holiness about Moses. So Moses led the people of Israel out of Egypt. Took over, I think, what looks like over 1 million people, and God entrusted everything to him. And guess what God told Moses in Deuteronomy? I'm going to kill you. You and your brother will never enter the promised land. So what happened there? You know, because God is so holy, he wants to demonstrate to them and to us that we can't. Moses got a little bit angry and hit the rock when the people were asking for water. And so what I'm trying to say here is that because God is so holy, Moses may be very faithful in his way, but he sinned. You know, folks, even us, we may be doing everything what we think is good, but a little sin, like one of my kids said, that is as big also as the big ones. Absolutely. And that's why it's very important, even though we are heading to heaven, as this message will declare later on, we have to watch those little sins, because one day we'll be judged. Not to judge if we're going to heaven, but judge. Christ needs to judge us one day on what I believe is a placement of what your rewards are, and also for you to be accountable for what you did you and I do every single day. So there is separation. After Adam and Eve sinned, death came to earth. So every day we face that. And that's why it's good to share the word of God. Now I'm going to move on. If you see Roman item number 2, you just repeat with me. As I said, nevertheless, God is merciful. Can we do that again? Nevertheless, God is merciful. And so that's where I'm going to move in and talk about God's mercy as Jesus became the new gardener. Okay? So we have a new hangout. What we were reading that we were kind of seated with the enemy before. Now we have a new life. We have a new life because of God's grace. Now, remember when I said that there are so many disagreements about how we get to heaven? Let's see. So, all from God. Salvation is all from God. He's the one who gave us a grace. In verse 8, for it is grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourself, but it's a gift from God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. And so God gives us grace. And the next thing I want to say, before I say this thing about how God chose us, so the Protestant movement, what happened really from my understanding is that so the Pope plus a lot of the Catholic Church leaders were selling indulgence instead of teaching that Christ died for everyone's sin. Is Christ justified that purchase on the cross? The Pope was selling. And so that is one of the reasons, probably the main reason Luther put those 95 theses on the door. Actually, he was putting it on the bulletin at the church, not to create any controversies, but just to make sure people understand in his thought that indulgence purchase is just absolutely wrong, and that God's work, Christ's work on the cross, is complete. And so anyway, thank God for Luther. And so that's one of the reasons why we should always emphasize about God's, Jesus' work on the cross. So as I was saying, God chose us. It says here, blessed be the name and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons of Jesus Christ. So God chose us before even, not just before we were born, but before the foundation of the world. I know that a lot of us folks have a problem with that, maybe not in this church, but other denominations. But that is exactly what's in the Bible, that God chose us. Okay? So, so with that, that God chose us, we have to do likewise. As I was saying, we should be sharing our faith. And, you know, that's one of the things I really appreciate about the Campus Crusade for Christ. I was saved through their 4 Spiritual Love booklet. My wife also was saved through Campus Crusade for Christ. So they have a way of sharing the truth when you go out. And I don't know what you use. Every time we visit Grandma Wanda Eichner, this is one of the things I'm so amazed and appreciate about her. Everything is about Jesus. She shared about these booklets that she has, She challenged us to share the word of God. And so, you know, when you go out there, I don't know how you share. I know some people in this church, I know one person at least, got saved through listening to a TV show. And I know that a lot of folks, they don't watch those evangelists on the TV or radio, but folks, people can be saved by listening to them. What about you? You know, there's this thing that folks often say about us reformers, that we are frozen chosen, that we are good to go. We're comfortable just sitting where we're at because God will choose people who are going to heaven. But I just want us to think about that, to challenge us. And I know a lot of you have been doing that, exactly doing what you should be doing where you're at. It's just a last-minute reminder. Just because God elects and gives us grace to allow faith to take place does not mean we are not to share the good news. God commanded us to share the good news. And also, God is a sovereign God. He knows who's going. And so we should be in that process that I was saying. We're part of Trinity with God's love. Not that we are part of the Godship of God, but we're part of that unity that I was trying to say, that Paul is trying to share with the church of Ephesus. So finally, folks, my mother was very clear about the response, and I believe she's in heaven. And Latoya is trying to challenge me. What about you and I? What are we exactly doing? We are going to heaven. Are we really looking forward to a new year, 2021? People are dying. People are dying. What about us on the spiritual aspect of life? Are we sharing the word of God? You know, I really believe that if we pray for opportunities to come our way, they will come. They will. Now, if we don't look for opportunities, they won't come. So I just want to challenge you, Faith Church. You know, when we build this church and we have the first sitting here, I say something. And it doesn't mean what I say is so powerful. I'm just saying that we have about 200 seats here. About. How many seats we got here, Brother Jeff? Maybe 150? So maybe just the way I said it, this church is pretty empty. It's pretty empty at that time. Not too many, that is. And said, maybe we should bring one and a half person to fill the church. But that's not really what we should be doing. I'm just saying that the evangelism, whether we try to fill this church, and we should never be trying to fill the church, but we should be thinking about this year, FY21, not FY, this year, to think about sharing the word of God. So I don't know what you've been sharing, but I want to share something from Charles Spurgeon. You will find all true theology summed up in these two short sentences. Salvation is all of the grace of God. Damnation is all of the will of man. And so when God chooses his people, he gives them grace, but we still have to respond. We're not robots. So people will respond to God's word because we still have to respond as Christians or people who would like to seek the Lord. So this morning, as I close, I will be praying somewhat like a challenge. If you are here, we don't usually do this. I'm going to ask if anyone is here, if you've been coming to this church, like I was saying, I don't see any new folks here. If you want God, if you've been challenged by the Holy Spirit, not myself, that maybe you would like the Lord to speak to you and you become a child of God, understanding that God does everything. Maybe you can do that. And those folks, I don't want to put you on spot that raise up your hand, including myself. And the elders and deacons, they're not the only one who should be sharing the word of God for evangelism or salvation. All of us should be doing that. So in my prayer, you don't have to look around, but I'll just ask if you're here and you want to speak to someone, those folks that raise up their hands, and some of the elders and deacons here, if you don't want to speak to us, can you raise up your hands if you're a deacon or an elder, if you prefer speaking to them? So these folks will share with you maybe much better than the way I share, yeah? And so let me pray. And how this is going to work is that you don't have to look around. The folks that are being challenged will look for you and me. So let's close with a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for 2020. And thank you so much for today. As we look for a pastor, we continue to pray for the search committee so we can have a church, a pastor. So Lord, as I was saying, we just want to pray for our people to be strong, to remember that we are all heaven bound, but then we have a command to follow and to share your word. So Lord, I pray this prayer, and if it's true for anyone sitting here in this church, to do that in their own hearts. And I will just leave the result to you. Dear Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. And I know that you died for me, Jesus. Help me become a new creature. And help me learn more about you, with someone to help me, of course, with the Holy Spirit. I ask that you forgive me and come into my heart and become my Lord and Savior. And thank you so much that you will never leave us nor forsake us. For we pray all of these in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.